rather certain and talking about the bulletin that I had said Psalm chapter 7 when I really met John. And Steve, that was a blessing to hear read this morning. But I'm not going to preach from there. So please turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 7. I was talking to a lady, knocked on her door, and my, she looked so familiar. I asked her if she'd ever been connected with Fairhaven. She said she hadn't, but she had just been here for trunk or treat. Her little girl was standing beside her there. I thought, well, praise the Lord. She seemed real happy and pleased about that. You folks did a good job making connections into our community through that. Let's look to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, as we come to your scriptures this morning, Father, that you will teach us more about yourself, about your Son, about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, teach us more about us. Lord, who we are. Who we are in Christ. Help us to grow. And Father, we pray for Nathan and Shanna this morning. That they have demonstrated in their walk with you. And Lord, we pray for that for each one of us. We'd just be growing in you and real examples to reflect your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 7, I think I better read this for you. Verse 28 through 38. Then Jesus cried in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, and I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. Many of the people believed on him, and he said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while, and I am with you, and yet I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then shall the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispensed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and whence I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I've been really intrigued with that passage of scripture, and I wanted to know more about this, my growth in the Lord. And what Jesus was seeing as he's looking upon the crowd is the desolation of the human heart. And so looking deep into their hearts, he said, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So here Jesus is speaking to the multitude of the worshipers, many visitors that had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles. And for 7 days, they each morning went to the steps of the temples, courts of the temple, offering sacrifices and singing psalms. And then in the evenings, they would go into the hills and disperse into the hills and stay in little booths that they had made for the night. And this was to reflect the journeys of their forefathers out in the wilderness for 40 years. Yet despite all of these rituals, Jesus looked upon a people who are desperately thirsty spiritually, did not have that inner peace and joy with God, which reveals that all of the acts of worship cannot really begin to satisfy a human soul. It may perhaps stir us inside. It cannot change us. It cannot satisfy the thirst of the inner man. That's how it was with Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, who even came to Jesus after fasting 2 times a week and participating in a Jewish feast in great detail, seeking more. And yet he was thirsty as he came to Jesus Christ, because only Jesus Christ can satisfy that deep need of the soul. And we want to drink more and more and more of Christ, and then come back for more. Remember back as a boy on a farm, we had such good well water. And on those really hot summer days, how refreshing to go to the well and to get some of that water. Well, with Jesus, he is our peace and our contentment. He is our joy. Good water. But we understand that for good water, we must personally partake before it can be enjoyed. And so I'd like to urge you this morning to come and personally partake and taste of the goodness of God. Now, this is during the Feast of the Tabernacles. There's many visitors that are very excited as they're there in Jerusalem and around the area. And yet they're weary because this feast is going on for 7 days. Now, at the first dawn, or at the dawn of the day, the priests sounded the long, shrill blast of the trumpets. There'd be the glad shouts of the people. People out there in their booths would begin to cheer and to celebrate as this would echo throughout the hills and the valleys and welcome the celebration. And then the priests would take a vessel of gold and go to the pool of Siloam. And then he would take the water and go through the water gates. And from there he'd go to the temple courts. And the singers would sing, and then the priests would pour the water as it would flow down past the altar there, down the steps, and into the streets of Jerusalem. I also read that there were 2 silver basins, one filled with water, the other with wine, symbolic of drawing salvation from God's well of mercy and his grace, the new wine of the Holy Spirit, filling the land with blessings. And so they were to remember, here are our forefathers, 40 years out in the wilderness. God's people dwelt in tents. They had no permanent dwelling to call home. And they were to also remember the unbelief of their forefathers, which was a great problem to them, a generation that actually missed going to the promised land because of their doubts. So really it's quite a bit to explain in order to introduce this passage of Scripture, but also to understand that. And so it's against this backdrop that Jesus stands in the temple and he shouts these words as Christ looked over the tents that dotted the landscape out there and remembering the unbelief from many years ago, but looking upon these people and understanding the unbelief in so many hearts even there on that day. He saw the emptiness amongst the gaiety that was plaguing their hearts. And these people were what? They're just still thirsty. Even though they're there and celebrating, their spiritual wells were dry. And so we see, you know, looking back into the Old Testament context, everything in the Old Testament was to point to Jesus Christ, a time of fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment. He is what? He is the thirst quencher. See, and that's the background in which Jesus speaks. If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. We might say, you know, Jesus was not interrupting the ceremony. Can you imagine, you know, one of the greatest churches in Kansas City, and somebody standing up in the midst of one of those times of worship to shout? That's what happened with Jesus here. But he was not interrupting the service. He was interpreting what was happening here, because he is the answer. He is the ultimate means or need for the celebration. And so it's the very Messiah himself stands in their midst in fulfillment of the great priest. So we can imagine the impact here. Jesus was the uninvited teacher. And he's not sitting in a teacher's role. He is standing to proclaim. He's not just speaking a little low and muffled, mellow voice. As Jesus shouts out with great emotion, great intensity, to introduce himself and to give this invitation to this crowd. So who dares to speak at such a holy moment but the Lord of glory? The Lord of glory to speak. And he speaks because it all pointed to him in the fulfillment. I like to think of Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9 in connection with this, as during this time, throughout this time in these ceremonies, the Jewish people would be waving palm branches, and palm branches were symbolic of God's deliverance, God's provision, and God's praises. So Revelation chapter 9, or chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, says here, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Glory to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Hallelujah. And we look forward to this. The glorious future there with the Lord. Now for point one, let's look at the recognition here that there is a universal need in verse 37, John 7, 37. "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, If any man, if any person, all of mankind, if anybody thirsts." And so that's the invitation. Jesus knew there's a deep spiritual thirst down in the soul of every human being till we come to Christ. And so here's the Jews. They understood a lot about thirst. Their land was dry and often hot. You know, we're living in a hot and dry, thirsty land in America today in many ways, because America is losing its way. There's a lack of knowledge of the Word of God today, and people are perishing for the lack of knowledge today. And so there's no victory or power if we miss the Word of God. How we need the Word of God: Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the source of life. No man can survive without water, and no soul can survive without Jesus. And so you may be, you know, walking into the building today, perhaps even with a deep thirst for something to satisfy within your soul, longing for something better. What will satisfy your search for meaning and for joy except for the Lord? You know, relationships leave us thirsty for more, because no person can fill the void in our soul. It's the emptiness that longs for God, the real relationship that really counts. Alcohol wears off, leaves a person, what, thirsting for more, doesn't it? So the bars are filled on Saturday nights, trying to quench physically the thirst that people have spiritually with earthly drinks. And so the emptiness, what? It only grows deeper with time. It drives them deeper into their despair. Well, why is that? Because they're spiritually thirsty, and it's not physical. Only Jesus Christ can fill that emptiness down inside and take away our guilt, take away our shame. It's all about Jesus. Drugs, they'll scream for more. Take more. Take something. Take something stronger. Because the devil is out to kill and to destroy and to steal. I was thinking about a radio station I was listening to. Christian radio station says often, "We are here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ." And yet, even though the president of that station speaks several times a day, I can't remember the last time he ever shared the gospel. And so now Jesus shouts, "If any man thirst, my, we're thirsty. Let him come unto me." It's our joy, my friend, to be able to speak to our community about their thirst, their emptiness, and the answer in Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment. And it's not the ceremony. It's not about the bullocks upon the altar. It's not about that water being poured out there that they need to look to quench their thirsts. Secondly, look at the graciousness of his invitation. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And so when people recognize their thirst, Jesus says, well, here's the answer. Come and be satisfied. Come to me. And we understand with invitations, most invitations require some kind of response on our part to advance and accept the invitation, move from the highways and hedges of our lives onto the goal in Christ. And so here's the invitation to those who are thirsty. And what do we find? It's all inclusive. Praise God. It's for anyone who thirsts. We read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Even the Bible ends with this invitation from God. And to triple enforce this, then we read, and let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So it's a what? It's a universal call. It's for all of us that we come unto the Lord, come unto Jesus Christ. If anyone is thirsty, let them come. That means you and I can receive the benefit of Jesus' invitation as well, because you are not disqualified. And so here Jesus stood, the uninvited preacher cries out loudly, emphatically, that all might hear that you are welcome too. And if you find yourself restless and thirsting for something more in life, well, friend, then respond to Jesus, who invites you to come unto me and drink. Drink of his grace. Drink of his forgiveness. Taste of the Lord. See he's good. Years ago, there was a crew of Peruvian sailors are heading for the Amazon River. And as they're traveling, they see another ship, a ship of Spaniards. The Spaniards are anchored. They're weak. They're dying of thirst. Their lips are parched. There's no hope for them, they feel. And then they see the Peruvians who cry out, can we help you? The Spaniards said, water, water, we need fresh water. Well, the Peruvians were very surprised at this request, and they said, well, lower your buckets and help yourself. And the Spaniards, fearing that they'd misunderstood, said, no, we need fresh water. Well, the reply was the same as a Peruvian said, well, then lower your buckets and be satisfied. Finally, they did. They discovered even though they're out there at the ocean, they are also in the mouth of the mighty Amazon River. And there's so much water gushing down through that river that even out there at sea, they could lower their buckets and have fresh water to quench their thirst. Well, Jesus offered spiritual water. He offers this water in abundance for the multitudes there at Jerusalem. And for our generation here today, Jesus is the answer to quench our thirst, the only one we can go to find eternal safety for our souls. Come unto me, Jesus said. Not a religion, not materialism and greed, but to Jesus we find peace and rest and joy. So for help, we need to know where to go. We need to know where to go. One couple was out shopping in town. They met some friends, and their friend said, why don't you come on over for dinner tonight? And they accepted the invitation. Later, the wife said, I just want to confirm. So she called up and said, there'll be five of us. We'll be there at 6 o'clock for dinner. The ominous silence on the other end of the line. And then his wife, Elsie, says, do I got the wrong number? The person at the other end said, I sure hope so. Well, hey, when we call upon Jesus, we have the right number. We are welcome. Hallelujah. We are invited, and he will supply. But if you come, you must remember, drink, drink. If I had a glass of water here, it would do me no good. It's absolutely worthless unless what? I take it to my lips and draw a drink, bring it to my mouth, or it'll never satisfy my thirst. Well, do you know that Jesus here never let us be dry? He's always more than enough. You know, you can go out for a burger and get a drink. You might have to stand in line. Not with Jesus. He's available for you today. You know, we've had the privilege of standing on the edge of Niagara Falls and see all that water cascading down there. And the amazing thing about it, I don't know where it all comes from, but it's never exhausted. It just keeps right on coming. You know, God is looking for those who are moving for Him and responsive to Him as He has this endless supply. He's not looking for a stagnant pond for our lives, but He's looking for rivers, rivers that can't be held back. You think about that. How would you stop the Amazon? Who could ever stop the Nile River or the Mississippi? Well, you can't. Neither should anything stop us from flowing for God. We are never more than alive than when the Spirit of God is flowing through us. And have you noticed that rivers change things? For one thing, rivers can change direction. Rivers can cut deeper into the soil down below, run deeper, greater depth. Rivers overflow their banks, but it's always progress. Always progress. Always moving forward. And that's what God wants as we share our faith, to bring satisfaction, to experience satisfaction, but also share this with others that they may have the good news too. Because rivers change things. And the good news of the gospel is what changes us as we respond to the Lord. And so Jesus looks out, He sees these booths, and here's the ceremony, the Feast of Tabernacles, and Israel stands as a warning. Those who hear the invitation reject the Lord. And there in Israel, they heard Jesus, and many rejected the invitation. They called for His crucifixion. Actually, Israel's history is many times turning in the wrong direction instead of turning toward the Lord. You know that's possible for us as well. And so turn please to Jeremiah chapter 2. If you join me there, this is really profound. It makes me think in many ways of America today. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. In other words, this is profoundly important. It's amazing. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns. They can hold no water. Think of America's broken cisterns. People who think, man, if I could only make $500 more a month, I'd be satisfied. If I could only marry the right person, I'd be happy then. If I could have the right car, if I got more furniture, if I could buy my hunting rifle, whatever it is they want under life. It's broken cisterns. These will never satisfy the empty soul. But Jesus invites us, offering not things, but offering Himself as our peace, our joy, and our hope. So for thirsty, friend, don't look to broken cisterns to satisfy your thirst. The thirst is actually kind of good, because it's the thirst that can lead us to Christ, to look to Him. And so Jesus promises more than just to, you know, fill you. And that's wonderful. But Jesus promises, I will overflow you, see? Overflow you with rivers of living water, so you can touch other lives, the people you love. Be a blessing to them. Just like this pool of Siloam, it would overflow into another pool. The Jews understood that. And so Jesus promises more than just to fill you. Now Jesus says, it will not only be water to fill your soul, but I'll make you a channel of blessing to others. True ministry, we understand, true ministry has to overflow to touch other lives. So to be full of anything, it tends to overflow. For out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. If we're full of resentment, watch the overflow of bitterness. If we're full of covetousness, we'll overflow with greed. But before you can overflow, before I can overflow, we have to be filled up ourselves. Amen? And so Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ha! What a joy. What an opportunity to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing can satisfy like the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Filling actually interpreted meaning control. To be controlled, yielded to God's Spirit. Well, I was filled yesterday. Yeah, but we need to be filled again today. It's to be continuously filled, continuously responding to the Lord. And then, are we full? Or are we thirsty for more? Well, Jesus, he's the everlasting fountain of life. And he never runs dry. Praise God. Well, thirdly, look at the human response here, verse 38. He that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so Jesus told these worshipers, not only, you know, do you get the, or how do you get the river of life? You got to believe. You got to respond. You must believe. And so Jesus is requiring faith in him, that we continually drink of him. You must be continually coming to the Lord, placing your faith in him to be full of the Holy Spirit, the fountains of living water. Now, the problem with the Dead Sea is, you know, the river would flow into there. It's salty. There's no fish. There's no plant life in the Dead Sea. There's no outlets, there's only inlets. There's only the flowing in, but no flowing out. No outlets, only inlets, makes for a dead sea. What's the law of nature like with a child of God? It explains why many believers lack spiritual vitality, because they seem so lifeless and so unproductive. Why? Because there's inlets, a lot of doing the right things, but there's no outlets, no vibrancy. Taking in, but never sharing to give out to others. Well, may the Lord make us refreshing fountains for thirsty souls they may drink. As we're indwelt by the Spirit of the living God, make us a channel of blessing for others, that Christ can change them and work in their lives. Now, fourthly, look at the, it's actually celebration of because of these blessings, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so it's not only that, you know, a person that drinks water will be satisfied, but as used of God, we become a supplier to others in need, to guide them towards the Lord. And so our bodies, you know, we think about our bodies where, I don't know, medically I've heard something like 80% bodily fluids, and if we're dehydrated, we're depleted in our bodies, our tongues begin to swell, our minds may become incoherent because we need more body fluids. We get headaches, and you know, our vital organs eventually begin to shut down. We can live a long time without food, not very long without water. So, you know, just as our physical bodies need water, friend, our souls need to be in constant flow with the Lord. As Max Lucado said, Almighty God does not want us to live with hopelessness, sleeplessness, loneliness, resentment, irritability, or insecurity. If that's where we are, these are the warning signs that there's a water depletion, spirit depletion. Holding back from the Lord as our hearts are being depleted and our hearts are dehydrated from not responding to the Lord. So one of the awesome things about water, you know, you think about water is what? It's flexibility. Doesn't matter what you pour water in, it just takes the shape. The molecular structure of the water takes the shape of whatever you give it. And so it transforms into whatever's necessary. And so you can see the water, you know, going down, seeping through cracks and dripping away. Or you can see water with the mighty thrust of Niagara Falls and the thundering sound there. And that's like the Holy Spirit, the living water from God. The Holy Spirit moves in whatever it may to reach us. And so we just what? Simply surrender our souls wherever the Lord finds us, however the Lord finds us, and he will mold us and he will shape us to be more like his Son. The Holy Spirit is the living water, and making us available for service to God. I was down motorcycling in Arizona years ago and had my young friend, Jay Leversey, with me on my motorcycle. And as we're going down one of those major interstates, it began to thunder and rain, and it was a mighty cloudburst. We had to stop and wait for the rain to pass. And yet there were dry gullies all around about us when that started, but not after the water began to pour. And that just pictures, you know, here's our soul. It's a picture of a dry river. It's a riverbed that's dead and empty, worthless. There's no life-giving waters. But then here comes this flash flood, and all of a sudden, out of the mountains and out of the valleys, comes all of this fresh water pours into the dry riverbed as it roars into life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, Revelation 22:1. Can you imagine how we get to heaven, standing before the throne of God, and here's the pure river of life bursting out of the throne of God? Make Niagara Falls look very insignificant at a time like that. And so as rivers have this constant change, are we willing to change to become a channel for the Holy Spirit, to live radical lives for the Lord, to experience God's transforming power? As rivers come, they cut through rock actually to get where they're going. And you know what? If we get too comfortable in our lives, the Holy Spirit comes and begins cutting a path of life through us. So it's challenging depth of the river bottom here. Just thinks about how the Holy Spirit wants to cut through the shallowness in my life. Get me flowing for God through superficial service and produce depth for him. So, you know, you think about rivers often overflowing, maybe every 2-3 years or something like that. The Holy Spirit wants you and me. This is a message about the Holy Spirit working and flowing through us. And he wants us to overflow in worldwide evangelism and touching our friends and neighbors for Christ. So, you know, rivers, lakes, absolutely different here. So the rivers push onward and forward and with power until they reach the sea. The Holy Spirit doesn't just want to warm us, but the Holy Spirit wants to expand into new places through us as he uses us. So we think of the power there. Think of the power. I mean, if you got a drifting boat and you're just out in the middle of that stream, you're going to be moving along, pulled by the flow of the current there. That's the power of the river, the Holy Spirit. Draws us along. The Holy Spirit's not in a hurry, like a flash flood in our lives. The flash floods in our lives may not accomplish a whole lot, but to change our lives. But get out there and paddle. Go with the flow. Go with the river. Go with the Spirit. Move with God as open channels in the rivers of life. Well, in conclusion, just think about this and wonder, ask ourselves a question, how thirsty am I? Have I tried to quench my thirst, possibly failed on something here in the last week in some way? Have I opened my life to Jesus, who's the real thirst quencher for me? So we see the water of the Holy Spirit offered to us. Jesus wants us to come to him, come in repentance, let him pour his Spirit and fill our emptiness with his power, his mercy, his ability to change, his peace that we enjoy so much from the emptiness that we had, to become rivers of living water for him. Now, many of those, you know, here at the Feast of Tabernacles, they heard Jesus, but they refused to accept the offer. Today, well, they're all in eternity, someplace. And what question begs the question, what are you and I going to do? Think about the sweet presence of the Lord pouring into us. as we respond, never the thirst again. Verse 43, actually, so there was a division among the people because of him. Here they had his words ringing in their ears, and he stirred a division among them. Because what? A few believed, and many did not. They rejected him, accused him of being an imposter, actually. Well, friend, we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ, the one who's able to change our lives and give us a home forever and eternity. That's what we preach. Hallelujah. And so he's making intercession today at the right hand of God. We've either received him or we have rejected him. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, Jesus says, like the Jewish people. They look to rituals, they look to things, they look to the physical water, but they have no inner joy, the supply from above. You know, one of the neat things in restaurants today as we go out to get a burger or something is help yourself. Free refills. Return as often as you want to. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? And that's what Jesus offers us. Just come. Keep coming. Keep being filled. Experience my joy. Experience my power. Go with the flow. Be a blessing to others. Let God use you in your life. In fact, today, a lot of places you got to pay for your water now. All these stores have water you can buy. I think that's here to stay. I'm so glad Jesus says my water's free. It's paid for at the cross. And Jesus offers himself. The price has been paid. Just come unto him and drink. Not only free, but fulfilling. And so we look at the streams of this world. We've all tried them. Don't they leave you empty and unsatisfied? Sure they do. Well, then come to Jesus. And be a walking oasis in this desert wasteland of the generation which we live, of lifeless people, that others may be revived who we come around. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fresh water of life that we experience in Jesus Christ, and Lord, for making yourself available to us, and Lord, for the many here who can say, I drink daily, and I found Jesus to satisfy. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here today who even knows you, but somehow, Lord, it seems like the supply has been blocked by disinterests or distractions. Lord, I pray again today, Lord, they'll just say, wow, that's not good. I'm thirsty for the Lord. Meet each one, Lord, in our place of need, we pray in Jesus' name.